Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, January the 22nd, 2008, and welcome to episode number 16 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, testing a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, the drinker's diary, the health benefits of stouts, Timothy Taylor, quick tastings, and our try before you die section. So let's get cracking. News, and Christmas was, on the whole, a good one, with trading hitting a 10% year-on-year increase over the previous year, and some breweries, such as Morehouse, breaking several records. But of those that didn't fare so well, Magners saw a fall in September to November, a trend they expect to see continue throughout the winter. This is hardly surprising since cider is traditionally a summer drink, but their year-on-year profits for the period were certainly not improving. One of the positive drops over the Christmas period was the fall in drunk drivers. Of the 155,000 breath tests taken during December, 7,800 tested positive, compared to 9,700 in 2006. No word, of course, as to whether this is because everyone stayed indoors because they couldn't smoke in the pub. And finally, the World Top Brewery has won gold for its beer, World Gold, at the Society of Independent Brewers. This is the first light beer from the brewery and the first time they've scored gold at SEBA. So well done to head brewer Tony O'Rourke Kilburn. Drinker's Diary. And to ease you gently into the new year, there are just four festivals for you this time. The first is the Chesterfield Canberra Beer Festival, taking place on Friday the 1st of February and Saturday the 2nd of February. This features local cask ales, a local rock group, and will be held at the Winding Wheel, Hollywell Street. Also on the 1st and 2nd of February is the 15th White Cliffs Festival. This features winter beers and strong ales, none of which are less than 5%. These mostly come from small independents and microbreweries, and is being held at the Town Hall, Dover. The first London Beer Festival of the year is the 18th Battersea Beer Festival. This takes place from Wednesday the 6th of February to Friday the 8th of February, and is in the Grand Hall, Town Hall Road, Lavender Hill. And finally, Luton holds its 25th Beer Festival, from Thursday the 14th of February to Saturday the 16th. This takes place at Hightown Sports and Arts Centre in Luton. The health benefits of stouts. For cold winter nights, very little beats a good stout or porter. Both are made with roasted malts or barley, and are generally very rich in texture, deep in taste, complex, and considered the closest to health drinks we get in the beer industry. Stout is generally stronger than the equivalent porter, since the original naming for strong porters was extra porter, double porter, or stout porter. Although, confusingly, stout appears earlier in the literature at around 1677, while the word porter was first used in 1721 as a beer popular with London's community of street and river porters. The most famous stouts are currently Irish, with dry stouts like Guinness leading the way with its slogan of Guinness is good for you, which interestingly does have merit, since it has a very high iron content, and therefore good for blood donors, and those coming out of surgery. Not that it'd be prescribed nowadays. Another popular stout is the milk stout, also known as sweet stout or cream stout. This contains lactose to add sweetness and body to the beer. It's most popular generally in things like Mackeson's, a 3.75% beer, which originated in Hythe, Kent, but now part of the InBev group. The health benefits of milk stout involve it being given to nursing mothers because of the lactose content. Oatmeal stout is deemed healthy because of its connection with porridge and oats. It's also one of the rarer types, and prior to Michael Jackson's 1970s book, it had virtually disappeared. Sam Smith's, a brewery we covered in episode 11, brewed the current template for oatmeal beer. As the name suggests, this does contain oats, but usually no more than 5% of its volume. There are three other types of main stout: chocolate, coffee, and oyster. These have less pronounced health benefits, but all usually contain some of the ingredients featured in their namesake. I say usually because chocolate stout is officially named for the chocolate malt used in the brewing, which is roasted until its colour reflects that of chocolate rather than its taste. However, most brewers will add cocoa from one or more countries to flavour it, so it does taste a little chocolatey. Apart from this, the main healing property of stouts and porters is the warmth each glass provides. In fact, Imperial Stout was brewed for the Russian court by Thrall's Brewery in London for this very purpose, where the ABVs of 10% were not uncommon. This meant it kept on its voyage to Russia and induced that warmth for which all stouts are known. Timothy Taylor began brewing beer in Cook Lane in Keighley, West Yorkshire, during 1858. But by 1963, they'd already moved to larger premises at Knoll Spring, where it remains to this day, and still under control of the family, making Tim Taylor's the last independent brewery of its type left in West Yorkshire. As we've said, Landlord is its primary tipple. This is a strong pale ale that, at 4.3%, has won 4 times at Canberra's Beer of the Year, and 4 times as champion beer at the Brewers International Exhibition. It is available in many pubs around the UK, despite being a traditionally northern brand. Tim Taylor's also provide a quarterly newsletter. It's mostly pictures and PR bump, but a welcome distraction from work. I'll put a link to Autumn's edition in the show notes. Tim Taylor's also have a number of tide houses, mostly in the north of England, which is where you can more easily find their other beers. These include the Dark Mild, a 3.5% beer, and Ram Tam, which is their equivalent of the Young's Winter Warmer, coming in at 4.3% with its full body and fruit tangs. On the lighter side, there's always the Best Bitter and Golden Best, both providing a taste of what good ale means. And it's not surprising this is many people's favourite tipple. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Clouded Yellow from St. Austell. This is a delicate bottle-conditioned beer with citrus, spices, and vanilla. There's also a slight maple taste as well, but this is destroyed afterwards by the overcarbonation of the beer. Interesting that this is brewed with 50% wheat and 50% barley, so there's an extra bit of taste in there you wouldn't normally get. It comes in at 4.8%, and I score it 7 out of 10. Cooper's Sparkling Ale from Cooper's. This is an Australian beer that's light, fizzy, and refreshing. It's also more of a beer than a lager, which is different to a lot of the Australian imports that we get in the UK. It's got a nice golden colour, and it's got quite sweet malts to it as well. One of the distinguishing features about this beer is that the yeast must be suspended, as opposed to allowed to settle at the bottom and then not poured. This does give it an extra zest and makes it a pleasant beer, which is why I score it 8 out of 10. Dreyer Pils from Dreyer. This comes from Hungary's oldest brewery and is a clean, crisp pils with a full head. Dreyer Pils are fairly common, such as the Dreyer Back, and have a low alcohol content, such as Golden Aces. They are also fairly traditional in the sense of being a pils. Certainly not on the par of the Pilsner Urquell, but certainly not bad. 6 out of 10. Chocolate Beer from Meantime. This looks like it should be a good solid dark chocolate beer, but alas, it has a harsh bitterness on the side of the mouth, and the mouthfeel is very much like Guinness, but without the solid bitterness between. This means it doesn't live up to its initial expectations, and it's quite disappointing, particularly when the harsh bitterness comes back at you again and there is nothing to even it out. 6.5% and 5.5 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Old Growler from the Nethergate Brewery. This is a true winter beer with deep ruby colours and smooth roast malts and fruit tangs and a touch of licorice. It's also an award-winning beer, having won the Supreme Champion Award at both Canberra and the Chicago International Beer Festival. The Nethergate Brewery itself was established in just 1986 in the town of Clare in the Stour Valley region of Suffolk, and used the British Bulldog logo of Old Growler himself. They also used slightly different ingredients to normal to achieve the unique tastes. One example they give is that of using coriander in their 3.8% Humble Ale and Humble Magna. Of their other main beers, Nethergate produce Stour Valley Strong, which features a blend of chocolate, black and amber malts, and comes in at a warming 6.5%. There's also the IPA and Priory Mild, both at 3.5%, Suffolk County, Augustinian Ale, named after a priory in Clare, 3.9%, a Session Bitter with a rather predictable 3.9% ABV, and Essex Border, a new golden beer with fruit and spice overtones. Despite the variety, it's Old Growler that everyone comes to see. While some have likened the beer to as only an ale to supplement food, it's much better than that. If you only want a table beer, then Pied Bruf from Belgium is a good choice. But if you want something extra, then get a bottle of Old Growler. And that's why it's this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. This podcast has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.